Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Hey, this is Fred Film Radio. I'm Sarah Bradbury from the 36th Torino Film Festival, and I'm joined here by Melissa Miller, director of All These Small Moments. So thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe for people who haven't seen the film yet, you can just give us a brief introduction. What is All These Small Moments all about?
It's about a teenage boy whose infatuation with a woman he meets on the bus further complicates his already tumultuous adolescence.
And you wrote and directed the film. It's your feature debut.
Yes.
So what sparked the idea for this film? Why this story, and why through the lens of a young boy?
I've always been interested in the, and I, whenever I say this, it always comes out wrong, but I've always been interested in the, like, male psyche, I think, for many reasons. And I think that a lot of this stuff is really personal, but I wanted to flip it, and I wanted to see how it felt from the male perspective and what I thought that he must be feeling in this type of situation. Mm. And so it deals a lot with adolescence, it deals a lot with marriage and sort of how tough marriage is, and so it was all these things that I wanted to explore.
And you got an incredible cast.
I did. I don't know how, but I did.
Not least Molly Ringwald, which we all know very well from back in the 80s.
Yes.
You got Brian D'Arcy James, but then also Brendan Mayer right at the center of it. So,
yes.
You know, how did you put this cast together, and how did you perhaps deal with that difference of these seasoned actors versus perhaps these younger actors?
Well, it's also really interesting, too, because the younger brother is Sam McCarthy, who's actually Andrew McCarthy's son. So Molly's playing the mother to Andrew McCarthy's real son, and as we all know, they were in Pretty in Pink together. So that was kind of a very interesting coincidence. But I think it was interesting for me, being my first film, I wasn't really sure what the actors would need from me. And what I found is that actors need different things. And so the seasoned actors like Molly and Brian, they asked a lot of questions. And it forced me to be present, and it forced me to be on my game and understand the story that I was telling. And one time, you know, I was setting up a shot, and they were outside, and I was inside, and I was at the monitor, and I said, okay, you guys are coming back from parent-teacher conference, and you're fighting, and this and that. And I was like, all right, I've told them everything. Like, they're not going to have any questions. And then all of a sudden, a production assistant says, you know, Melissa, yeah, Molly and Brian have a question. I'm like, ugh. You know, and I was like, but what? I explained everything to them. And so basically they were like, which kid are we talking about? And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. Okay, you're talking about the older kid. But, you know, it's just their way their minds work to understand their own characters was really interesting to me. And then the younger guys, Brendan, I really felt sometimes like I wasn't sure he was human because he was so perfect every single time and gave me exactly what I wanted. To the point, whereas now I realized as a director I should have asked him to do it different ways so I had more options in the edit room. But because he was just so perfect every single time, it was amazing to me. And Sam, it was his first movie, and I knew that I realized I couldn't push Sam too much or else he would kind of fall out of it, whereas the more seasoned actors, I think the more takes they did, the more natural it became. So it was really just understanding. And then Jemima liked to kind of be off the cuff a little bit more, and she liked to be off book a little bit more than the other actors. So that was really interesting because she did want to keep giving me more and more stuff. And my editor, I mean, I think everyone's in love with Jemima Kirk, but I think he's also my husband, but he also fell in love with her even more because she gave so many different things, and it gave him things to play with when he was editing. So it was just for me just realizing what they all needed from me.
And being your first feature film, taking it from the page to the screen, how was that process for you? And how would you characterize your filmmaking style? Do you bring much from your experience being on the art department and other films? Do you have other influences, other filmmakers you aspire to be like?
I think, well, you know, I always say I love Kenneth Lonergan, I love Noah Baumbach, Curtis Hanson, and just these people who make these really, I think, if anything, I think my style is more naturalistic. I'm not totally interested in stylized shots, even though sometimes I think it calls for that. But for the most part, I'm really interested in the human condition. And I think what my DP and I did, my DP Adam Bricker, when we were on set, he would say, you know, we would say, let's let's do it as a play. Let's block it out. Let's see where you guys go. So we had shortlisted before, but I think a lot of times, and a lot of filmmakers will agree, that you kind of, when you're on set, you kind of throw your shot list away. And I was really interested in seeing what the actors were going to do naturally, and then we would cater to that. Mm-hmm. Instead of forcing them to land in a certain place, unless I did have a stylized shot, then of course they have to hit their marks. But for the most part, we like to adjust to them.
And thinking of the themes that kind of come out of the film, it's kind of a coming-of-age tale, but there's also these adult relationships, this marriage that we see kind of falling apart. So what do you think some of the themes that come out of it, and what do you expect people to take away?
You know, I think a lot of it for me is... you know, I guess spoiler alert, but there's a moment where we find out that the husband has cheated on his wife. And for me, I don't think it always ends there. I think that different relationships call for different things. And in this particular relationship, although he physically cheated on her, she checked out of the relationship. She mentally checked out of it. And I think that's just as damaging, really, as the physical aspect, sometimes if not more. Because I always said to him, I always said to Brian, like, you didn't mean to cheat. You know, like, it just kind of happened. But I think that, you know, Molly's character just fell out of it a long time ago, and that opens itself up to other complications. So I've been with my husband almost 20 years, and it's tough. Like, marriage is tough. You know, and so I wanted to explore that, but I also was really interested in the teenage aspect of it as well, and how teenage love / infatuation looks different than adult love, and how everyone starts with romantic love, but it very quickly turns into something else. And I thought that was a really interesting thing to explore.
And, you know, as indicated by the title, it is almost taking these sort of seemingly insignificant moments in life and imbuing them with meaning. So what might be some of the challenges in kind of bringing that nuance out and focusing on sort of all these small moments?
Well, I think that what I've managed to do was combine drama with comedy. Like, I kept saying to my producers, oh yeah, it's a comedy, and they're like, I don't know, I think it's a drama. But I think that that's important. I think that's what life is. Things get heavy, but then there are also light moments, and this could have gone in a really dark direction, and I do think there's some dark elements to it, but I also wanted to bring that levity as well. And I think it's really just about all these things that happen to you in your life that really inform who you are. But if someone asks you, like, what do you think was the biggest, you know, you don't necessarily know. It could be something that you don't even think about anymore. So I really love the idea of all of us just being like the sum of our parts type of thing.
And how does it feel to have the film here at the Torino Film Festival? And how do you see the broader landscape? It seems like there's a lot more opportunities now for female filmmakers.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time to be a female filmmaker, so I'll take it. And I just think... every time I come, you know, I was just in Germany a few months ago, and now I'm here, and we premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival, and I just think there was a time when I was alone in my room writing this, and now I'm in Turin, Italy, and so I just love the idea of how an idea comes, and then it takes you to all these different places, and you're able to share it with other cultures and other people, and I've noticed that people are really getting the film. It's hitting on like a very human level, on a universal level. So that's been really great for me.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. Thanks so much for sharing all that
Cheers.
With us.
Thank you.
From the Torino Film Festival, I'm Sarah Bradbury for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.